Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to welcome you to Jehovah Jireh International Institution and Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, CEO of this institution. And we would like to let you know that this is an excellent time for you to be a part of our biblical studies. We do realize that many of you have been listening, have had the desire to know more and more about the Word of God, because the Word of God said, it's study to show thyself approved unto God. A woman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the Word of truth. So today, as always, you're going to be able to hear the Word of truth. But the Word of God says, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. And He said that He will direct our path. So let us go before the Lord, our God, in prayer. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank You. We magnify Your name. And Lord, we just lift Your name up high. And God, we give You all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. Father, Your words say, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek Your face, turn away from their wicked way. You say, God, that You will hear from heaven. You say, God, that You will forgive the sin. And God, You said that You will heal the land. So, God, we thank You today for another opportunity to be able to study Your word, another opportunity to gain more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding by hearing the word of God. Because Your word said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this we will thank You and praise Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we would like to welcome you to Jehovah Jireh International Institution, our biblical study time. We are so excited, as always, to have our professor of biblical study to be able to give us the word of God with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding, to be able to orchestrate that word so that souls will be saved, lives will be changed. Our lives will be changed through the word of God if we allow it to be so. We are so thankful to God for the professor of this of the biblical studies. She's none other than in her life as a minister of God, as a preacher of the gospel. She is an apostle that God has given to the overseer of her people. But at this time, she is professor. She's professor, one of our professors here at Jehovah Jireh International Institution. Having said all that, I want you to get ready to receive the woman of God as she teaches us today from the Old Testament. And you have a great opportunity to go get your Bibles, get your pen and paper, so that you'll be able to hear what the woman of God is going to give us on today. At this time, I'd like to present to some and to introduce to others Professor Kathy Missick. Kathy Missick.
Just to bring you up to speed, the book of Exodus means it is the redeemed. So God was redeeming His people out of Egypt. It means redemption, and He was redeeming them out of Egypt. In this particular book, it's going to cover the deliverance portion as well as the worship, how God delivered His people from Egypt, and how He then taught him how to worship Him at Mount Sinai. So let us look at the plagues that God had placed upon Egypt and the reason why these plagues were placed on them. There were 10 plagues, and they were there for reasons. God didn't just pick them haphazardly. God has a reason for everything He does. And in doing such, let us see, when we look at Exodus around the 6th and the 7th chapter, it talked about how when God told Moses, He equipped Moses to go and tell Pharaoh to let His people go. And Pharaoh refused. Pharaoh The Egyptians, they believed in a lot of pagan gods. They worshiped pagan gods, and they wouldn't worship the true and the living God. So God had to show Pharaoh that he was the God of all gods, and he had to prove that. And in doing so, he had to harden Pharaoh's heart. You know, anytime we put our love and trust in things and it doesn't work out for us, and our love and trust in people and they don't work out, sometimes we get disappointed, our heart gets hardened, we get angry, we have all these emotions that our natural body expresses when we're disappointed, mad, angry, or let down. So likewise with Pharaoh. So Pharaoh put his trust in all of these gods, and God wanted to show him that he was the God of those gods. So we find here, if we would turn, we begin to see these different plagues in, let's look at the seventh chapter. We'll find them from the seventh chapter on through to the 12th chapter of Exodus. So as we read the story, as we read the book of Exodus, then, you know, let us look at how some of the ways Moses had to, was very confrontational between Moses and between Pharaoh. And the purpose of the miraculous signs that God was showing forth, and why there were so many plagues that God had to demonstrate to Pharaoh in regarding the people, and why the judgments of the first nine was plagues, how they didn't soften Pharaoh's heart. So let's look at the first plague, and the first plague is the plague of blood. We'll find that in 7, verses 14 through 25. If you could definitely write those down for your further study. But in 7, Exodus chapter 7, the first plague was turning the Nile into blood, and this was a judgment against Apis. Apis was the god of the Niles. Isis was the goddess of the Niles, and Cumin was the guardian of the Nile. And so therefore, when the Nile was also believed to be the bloodstream of Orisis, who was the reborn each year. He was to be reborn each year when the river flooded. And this would signify to the Egyptians that the daily life and the national economy, so it wouldn't be devastated. So when the Nile did flood and when it turned to blood, it was millions of fish that died, and the water was not reusable. And so by this, it told Pharaoh that God was who God said he was. So when Pharaoh put his trust in these gods and goddesses of the Nile and the guardians of the Nile, they would worship them because they felt that they had powers for their economic purposes. They had powers for their food purposes. And so they would worship these gods and goddesses and guardians as though that they were expecting them to be a blessing to them. So the first plague that God did was the plague of the blood, when he turned the rivers of water to blood, to show him that he was the God of all gods. We find that in Exodus 7 and 17. If you can go there. Exodus 7 and 17 says, thus says the Lord, in this night thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which there are in the river, and they shall turn to blood. 18 goes on to say, and the fish that were in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the Nile, which means they shall suffer, they shall not drink, they shall be restricted from drinking the waters of the Nile. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto him, Aaron, take the rod and stretch it out in thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams and upon the rivers, upon the ponds and upon the pools of water, that they may become blood, that they may be blood throughout all of the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord had commanded. And he lifted up his rod, and he smote the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and the sight of his servants, and the waters were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish and the rivers, they did stink, and the Egyptians could not drink the water in the river. And these were throughout the land of Egypt. 21 says, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither did he hearken unto the voice of the Lord. So we find here that the Egyptians had their magical powers, the powers of darkness, to duplicate some of the exact same thing that God did. And that continued to give Pharaoh a sense of empowerment that his gods were still more powerful than our God. So we find that when God did that, he showed them that he was God. Not only was the Nile turned to blood, but the rivers were turned to blood, the pools were turned to blood, the ponds of water were turned to blood, the water that had already been dispatched from the pools and the ponds that were in their vessels, they were also turned to blood. So God still showed his powers in a more miraculous way than what the magicians could have shown. So God was beginning to show Pharaoh how powerful and how authoritative he was, and that he was the true and the living God. So let us go now to the second plague. And this is the plague of the bringing down the frogs from the Nile. This particular plague here, it was a judgment against Equet. Equet was the headed frog goddess of birth. And frogs were thought to be sacred and not to be killed. God had the frogs to invade every part of the homes of the Egyptians. And when the frogs died, their stinking bodies were heaped up in an offensive pile all through the land of Egypt. So let us look at Exodus 8. We'll find that 8 and 13. Again, God was showing Pharaoh that his gods were not powerful. I had no power in comparison to our gods, and that they were believing in gods of wood and gods of stone. So Exodus 8 and 13, and it reads, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and in the villages and out in the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So this was the second time the Lord had told Pharaoh to let my people go so that they could worship him. And Pharaoh refused to do that. And every time Pharaoh would refuse to let the children of Israel go so that they may go and worship God, God caused a plague to come upon Pharaoh against one of the gods that they were worshiping. See, one thing about God, we have to worship him, and the Bible tells us that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So whatever we're doing or whatever is preventing us from allowing us to be in a place or have that time to worship God, God will bring judgment on that. Because God said, I have no other gods before me. And God is very particular about his people worshiping him, spending time with him, and being able to have that quiet time where they can worship God and God can minister and be able to speak back to us in that still, quiet place. So we find here that the second plague was the frogs. And the frogs, again, were a god that the Egyptians, they worshipped. It was a goddess. It was a frog-headed goddess. So the head, it was a woman body with the frog head, and they would worship her for birth. So they thought that it was sacred not to even kill the frogs. So God allowed the frogs to come and invade their land and invade their homes. And in doing such, after a time, when all of these frogs had died off, then it was a very, it was stenched. It was stank, and it was an offensive pile throughout the land of Egypt. Now, the third plague we find here is the plague of gnats. I believe the Bible calls them lice, but they were like gnats. And this judgment was set off of the God of the deserts. It was unlike the previous plagues, the magicians were able to duplicate these and declare that Pharaoh was still had some type of power, and Pharaoh had some type of arrogance about himself where he wouldn't have to bow to the true and the living God, and he would not have to adhere to or hearken to the voice of God as he was telling them to let his people go so that they can go and worship him. So the third plague was the plague of lice, and we find that in the 16th verse of the 8th chapter of Exodus. We can look at that. Exodus 8 and 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt. And they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So they were lice, so there were lice upon them as well and upon the beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So God smote the dust of the desert. And you can just imagine, for one, if you could, take a second to imagine dust. Dust is very minute particles of dirt. It's dust. We have dust in our homes. We have dust from our AC, air conditioning units. We have dust on, and dust comes, seems like, where did this dust? You can dust today, and tomorrow you got dust again. You wonder, where does this dust come from? Because of it's such a minute particle in the air, you don't see the dust forming until after the dust is already formed. So you can imagine how many insects, how many lice it was, how many gnats it was overtaking the animals, overtaking man, overtaking Egypt, overtaking the land. Everywhere they went, there was lice, there was gnats everywhere, all over the beasts, all over the animals, all over the people. Everywhere you go, there were lice. And even, I don't know if you ever went out during the summer and you see a swarm of gnats, and when you walk in that swarm, you're fanning everywhere. Just imagine not you're fanning and you can't alleviate the gnats. That is a nuisance. That is an absolute nuisance. But we find here that God caused this nuisance to come upon them, this plague to come upon them, because they, again, were worshiping the God of the desert, the God of the desert. They was worshiping them, and God showed them this time that this was the finger of God. This was not anything where the magicians could come and duplicate anything. We understand that the enemy, he comes as a sheep and wolf, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He comes to duplicate whatever God does. There are times when the enemy tries to duplicate that, give that mirage or that illusion that he is God or he's strong or don't have that much faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the living, the God, the true and the living God. He comes to deceive us and make us think at times where that what God does for us, it can be duplicated, and therefore we shouldn't put our faith and our trust and our strength in God and in God's word. He tries to take the authenticity and try to take the authority and the power out of God's word when he comes to duplicate that. However, we find here that the magicians could not duplicate this particular plague. They couldn't do that. They knew for themselves that this was the finger of God. Looking at the fourth plague, which was the plague of the flies, we'll find that also in the eighth chapter, around the 20th verse. The plague of the flies. This plague was a judgment against Yutach. This was the fly god. In this plague, God clearly distinguished between the Israelites and the Egyptians. In this particular plague, as we're going to read in a few seconds, this plague, that there was no swarm of flies that bothered the area where the Israelites lived. However, they bothered the area where the Egyptian was. Again, this was judgment on the god of the flies, which name is Yutchit. U-A-T-C-H-I, Yutchit. We're going to look at verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou would not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon them, and upon thy servant, and upon the people of thy house, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. And I will serve, in that day the land of Goshen with my people, which my people dwelleth, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that they mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow this shall be the sign. So we see here that the Lord instructed Moses to go back to Pharaoh, instruct him to tell Pharaoh to let my people go that they may worship him. And Pharaoh, yet again, heart was hardened. But God told him that what he was going to do was cause the swarm of flies to come upon Egypt, to come upon Pharaoh, to come upon Pharaoh's people, to come upon where his people dwelled, in their homes, and even on the ground. And this was a judgment against the god of the flies, Yutchit. And God told him in advance that, look, these flies are going to overtake you and the Egyptians, but they're not going to touch the Israelites. So that God can show the Israelites he's not going to cause them to suffer as the Egyptians suffered, and to prove and show to the Israelites that he is the God of this world. He's the God in this land. He's God over this earth. And it further encouraged them and it strengthened their faith in God to know that this is God that are doing these miraculous signs, so that they can, their faith would be increased to know that God has come to deliver them from the hands of the Egyptians. And still and yet, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not allow the people to go and worship. And it says here in 24, and the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies unto the house of Pharaoh and unto his servants' house and in all the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupt by reason of the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice unto the God of your land. So in doing this, this hardened Pharaoh was able to submit and allow the people to go, is what he told Moses, to go and sacrifice in the land, go sacrifice unto God in their land. And Moses said, it is not meet for us to do so, for we shall sacrifice no abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination? Lo, we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes. And will they not stone us? 27 says, we will go 3 days' journey unto the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, so he shall command us, as he has commanded us to do so. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, but ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away and treat for me as well. So we find here that Pharaoh said, well, let me compromise. He says, okay, you can go and sacrifice in your own land, which was the land of Goshen. And Moses told him, no, we're not going to go sacrifice in Goshen. The Lord commanded us to go and sacrifice in the wilderness, which was a 3 days' journey away. And God wanted them to go there so that he can have their full attention. He wanted them to sacrifice unto him and worship unto him. And Moses said, if we were to do it in our land, the Egyptians may stone us. They'll be biased. We won't be able to fully dedicate and put our, all of our attention towards God. So he said, okay, well, you can go, but don't go far. But if you find, if you see here, he says here, I want to say it was in 25, in 28, he told him that when you... Pharaoh told Moses that when he go to sacrifice, don't go very far, but when you go, entreat for me as well. Pray for me as well. Pharaoh knew. Pharaoh was not an ignorant man. Pharaoh knew that the plagues and the events that were going on, he knew it was God, and he began to get fear in his heart, and he knew that it was God that was doing it and not just a coincidence. He knew, but God had already told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So even though Pharaoh knew it was the true and the living God, Pharaoh then wanted Moses to pray for him as well as they prayed for themselves. But when God hardens a person's heart, there's nothing we can do about it. That person themselves can't even understand it because the heart has already been hardened. You know, the Bible tells us that, it's a sad thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We don't ever want to tempt God or fall into the hands of an angry God whereby we no longer receive the grace of God concerning our life, concerning the things that go on in our life. So we find here that not only did Pharaoh allow the Israelites to go and worship God in the wilderness, which was a 3 days' journey away, he also, in verse 28, asked them to entreat God on his behalf. So now we will go to the fifth plague. Let us look at that. And this is the plague of the death of the livestock. This is found in the ninth chapter of the book of Exodus, the plague of the livestock. The fifth plague, the death of the livestock, was a judgment against the goddess Hathor and the god Apis, who were both depicted as cattle. As with the previous plague, God protected his people from the plague. While the cattle of the Egyptians died, God was steadily destroying the economy of Egypt while showing his ability to protect and provide for those who obeyed him. Pharaoh even sent investigators, we'll find that in Exodus 9, to find out if the Israelites were suffering along with the Egyptians. But the result was a hardening of his heart against the Israelites. So let us look at Exodus 9. And this is the fifth plague concerning the disease and the death of the livestock. And it reads, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus says the Lord God of Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and withhold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon thy horses, upon thy asses, upon thy camels, upon thy oxen, and upon thy sheep. There shall be a very grievous mourning," mean a very bad sickness, "and the Lord will sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is of the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that on the morrow, as all the cattle of Egypt died. But the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites died, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." So we see that not only was the cattle, there was his sheep, there was the camels, there was the entire livestock, there was the horse, there was the entire livestock that was stricken with a very grievous disease, and they all died. And it says that God was doing this to further break down Pharaoh, to break their economy down, to bring him all the way down, because he had to show Pharaoh that he was God. He had to show Pharaoh, because Pharaoh had asked Moses, who is this God? When Moses first went to Pharaoh, he asked him to let my people go. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and the living God, the God that I am, this God says, let my people go. And he challenged him. He said, who is this God that I must serve him? So God was showing Pharaoh who he was, that he would serve this God. We never should ever challenge the authority, the lordship, the kingship of who God is. God is God, and there is no God besides him. He is the true and the living God. He is our beginning and our ending. He's our Alpha and he is our Omega. We should never challenge who God is, whether those that serve him or not should never challenge who God is, because God will show us just who he is. So we find here that when God destroyed, God had a certain point in time, and it was on the next day, and God did just as he said he was going to do against the judgment, against judgment of the goddess of Hathor and of the god of Apis. They were both gods that were depicted as cattle, and they worshiped them. So God showed them with a grievous plague on all of the livestock, And he did it on the children, on the Egyptians, but not on the children of Israel. And he told them that I am the God of the Hebrews. So he began to be more personal, and he told him that I'm their God, and I will protect them. So when Moses told Pharaoh, Pharaoh sent out, we see in verse 7, a spy to confirm that the children of Israel were not harmed. They were not touched by this plague. And in doing such, when he heard the results of that, his heart was hardened even the more against the Israelites. Looking at the sixth plague, which is the plague of the boils. This plague is also found in the ninth chapter of the book of Exodus, the 8th through the 12th verse. And it reads, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it upon the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall come to pass, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout the land of Egypt. It was blisters beginning to show forth on the man and beast throughout the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it upon upward towards heaven. So he threw it up in the air, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains meaning with blisters upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoke unto Moses. So God had Moses to take ashes from the furnace and just throw them up in the air. And as he threw them up in the air, they became viral. And when they became viral, as it landed on the people, they began to get boils with blisters in it. God was yet showing himself to be God once again. And this plague was against several gods over the health and disease. They were against the god of Sanu and Isis. It was against the god of Semet. It was against, again, Sanu and Isis and Semet. This time, the Bible says that the magicians, they were not even able to stand before Moses because they were themselves infected with the boils. Clearly, these religious leaders, their powers were worthless against the God of Israel. They couldn't do anything because they were themselves infected as well. Before God sent the last three plagues, Pharaoh was given a special message from God. These plagues would be more severe than the others, and they were designed to convince Pharaoh and all the people that there was no God like him in all the earth. And these plagues we're talking about is going to be the plagues of hail, the plagues of the locusts, and darkness. But before he even began to send these plagues, he wanted him to know that these plagues were going to be worse and they were going to be more severe and that there was no God like him in all the earth. Pharaoh was even told that when he was first placed in this position by God so that God could show his power and declare his name throughout all the earth. As an example of his grace, God warned Pharaoh to gather whatever cattle and crops remaining from the previous plagues and shelter them from the upcoming storm. In all that God showed Pharaoh, God was still gracious to Pharaoh to allow Pharaoh to be able to the remaining cattle and his crops from all of the previous plagues. He was allowing him grace. One thing about God loves man. God does not like what man does. And we should never defy God or challenge God. But God is yet gracious unto us. God is merciful unto mankind. And therefore, God showed Pharaoh that I'm God, but there is a gracious side to me. That God warned him to gather up all the crop and everything that remained, the cattle, from the previous plagues and the shelters from the upcoming storms. Some of Pharaoh's servants took heeded the warning, while others did not. So let us go further here and talk about the next plagues that God put on the children of, I'm sorry, the Egyptians and not the children of Israel. So we find here the seventh plague was the plague of the hail. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all of my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and that thou mayest cut off from the earth. And in a very, I'm sorry, my page turned. And in very deed, this cause have I raised up. For this very deed, this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout the earth. As yet, exaltest thyself, as thou hast exalted thyself against thy people, that thou will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, will I cause the rain of a very grievous hail, such as have not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the fields, and that every man and the beast that thou shalt be found in the field shall not be brought to thy home. The hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. So we see here that God was letting them know, as I stated earlier, that God was letting them know that he was God and that there was no other God before him. And was letting them know that, giving him opportunity to get his livestock, to let his people know, to get their cattle and their crops, to get everything under shelter, because when the storm come, it was going to kill everyone that was exposed to this particular storm, this particular judgment. And Moses' servants took heed to some of the warnings. We found that in verse 20 of the ninth chapter of Exodus, while others did not. The seventh plague of hail, it attacked the god Nut. It was a god goddess, a sky goddess, and it was Orisis. It was the crop god of fertility. So the judgment was against Orisis. It was against the goddess Nut, and it was set because of their love, that they thought that these gods were allowing them prosperity. And it set the storm up against the gods, and the hail was unlike any other hailstorm that they had ever seen before. And it was accompanied with fire, which rained along with the ground. So once the hail hit, the fire ran along the ground, and it was destroying everything. And everything that was left out in the open was devastated with the hail and the fire. Again, the children of Israel were not, they were protected. They were not affected by this plague, and the hail did not damage any of their lands, and none of their lands were destroyed. So we find that in God's mercy towards the Egyptians, some took heed and some didn't, but Pharaoh's heart was still hardened even the more, and he would not allow the Israelites to be released. He would not let them go so that they can go and worship the God of their forefathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and the living God. Before God had brought the next plague, he told Moses and the Israelites that they would be able to tell their children the things that they had seen God do in Egypt and how it has showed them God's power. This eighth plague was the plague of locusts, again focused on the goddess Nut and the god Orisis and the god Set. These were on the latter crops, and the wheat and the rye, and they had those that had survived from the hail, they would be devoured by the swarms of the locusts. And there would be no harvest for Egypt that particular year. God, again, was breaking down every avenue and aspect of their economy. And the plague, the ninth plague, we'll go ahead and finish it out, the ninth and the tenth plague. The ninth plague was the plague of darkness, and this was aimed at their sun god, Ra. And so, who was symbolized by Pharaoh himself, that for 3 days the land of Egypt was smoked and was smothered with an unearthly darkness. But the homes of the Israelites had light. Again, God was showing them his power, and every god that the Israelites were worshiping, God was yet showing his power and his authority over them. The tenth and final plague was the plague of death of every firstborn male. This was the judgment on Isis. And to protect the children of Israel, in this particular plague, God was teaching the Israelites a deep spiritual lesson that pointed to Christ. Unlike the other plagues, the Israelites survived by virtually on their identity as being God's people. Because they love God, because they worship God, because they were the children of God, and because God was their Lord and Savior, that was in itself enough for God to protect them because of their obedience to God. And because they were his people. This particular plague was, again, this judgment, and for them to be protected, it went deeper, and it is parallel and associates itself with Christ. And this particular plague required an act of faith by them. God commanded each family to take an unblemished male lamb and to kill it. And the blood of the lamb was to be smeared on the top and the sides of their doorways. And the lamb was to be roasted and eaten that night. Any family that did not follow God's instructions would suffer in this last plague. So there was an act of obedience that was associated with this plague. God described how he wanted to send the death angel to the land of Egypt. and with orders to slay every firstborn male in every household. He did not specify the Egyptians versus the Israelites. He said every household, whether it was a man, a human, or whether it was animal, every firstborn male of the household would be smitten, would die, would be struck, had not they had followed the protections that God had placed, put in order for them to be protected. The only protection was the blood of the lamb on the door. When the angel saw the blood, that he would pass by every household and leave it untouched. This is found in Exodus 12. This is where the term Passover comes from. Passover is a memorial of that night in ancient Egypt when God delivered his people from bondage. We will find this in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. It teaches us that Jesus became our Passover when he died to deliver us from bondage, from sin. While the Israelites found God's protection in their homes, every other home in the land of Egypt experienced God's wrath as their lives were changed when their loved ones died. This grievous event caused Pharaoh to finally release the children of Israel. Brothers and sisters, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you would continue to show thyself approved by studying his word. You can continue to read Exodus through to the 12th chapter, on through to the 13th chapter, the end of the 12th, and it will begin to teach us and show us further how God moved in a miraculous way to deliver the children of Israel. And I admonish you to read from Exodus 7 through Exodus 12 to get further detail on the 10 plagues and how God showed himself in a mighty way. Until next week, God bless you, and I thank you for tuning in with us. Receive ye now, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. God bless you.
We honor the Lord today for what we have heard. We have heard the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. We are so honored and thank God for all that he has done. We thank God for the privilege to be able to hear the word of God and the teaching of the word that came from Apostle Professor Captain Missick. We thank God for that because the woman of God is able to rightly divide the word of truth. Word of God said, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And he said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So we would like to take this opportunity to invite you and those that you know to be a part of Jehovah Jireh International, to tell your friends and your family as to what you have heard on today, and that you, too, can be able to be a witness by telling someone about Christ. And as you heard the word on today, you heard about the plagues. You've seen as in the book of Exodus how what God did for his people and how God delivered his people. You see God wants to deliver those that are bound, captive, and in prison. And so you can be a witness yourself by telling someone about our biblical studies. And it is every Saturday at 9 o'clock. We have the opportunity for you to hear the word of God. And if you want to be able to come to our location, which is 5045 Soutel Drive, Suite 90, we would like for you to come and just give us a call at 904-674-7831 and register, and we will be glad to have you part of our biblical studies. Now, the Bible says that we don't want that man should always pray and not to faint. So what we want to do at this time, we want to be able to pray for you. And to, I don't know what you may be going through, but I feel that this prayer will cover you and that you too will know that this is a Christian institution and that we operate by the Spirit of God and in the Word of God. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and we praise thy name. And we thank God for you being perfect in every way. And I thank God for you, Lord God, for allowing us to be perfected through your word, through the teaching and the instruction of your word. And God, your word said that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So, God, we pray even now, God, that you touch every student, God, those that are maybe listening in Texas, God, they may be in Louisiana, they may be in Alaska, wherever they may be, here in Jacksonville, Florida, Tampa, wherever they may be. We pray even now, God, that you, God, would touch their hearts, and God, that you would give them what they need, and God, that you would put them, let their heart be ablaze, and God, that they, God, will be a witness, and God, that they will get that sentence on the inside to do more for you. I ask you, Father God, to touch everyone that is listening on today and touch the family members and, God, those that are grieving, God, those that are going through some tribulations in their lives. I pray even now that you will touch them, God, that you'll make a difference in them. And, God, whatever need that they have, I pray, God, that you will supply that need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And, Father, for this, God, we will bless and praise your name. And even as we end this prayer, Father, if there's any that's not saved, do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, God, even now, God, that they, Father God, would say yes to your will and yes to your way. You said we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, God, and receive in our heart that you, God, will, that you will hear our prayer. All we need to do is confess and believe, and God, believe that you died, that you paid the price, that we can have a right to the tree of life. So, God, touch them even now. Lord, God, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but you gave your life that we can have a right to the tree of life. So today, on this Saturday, God, continue to strengthen, uphold, encourage your people, whoever they may be, and, God, give them, God, the desires of their heart according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, you have been listening to Jehovah Jireh International Institution, our biblical studies, and we invite you to tune in on next Saturday morning at this very same time. And listen, we have a degree classes through a university, Faith Christian University. And if you will like to receive your associate, master's, and a degree, bachelor's degree, and doctoral degree, it's a 2-year institution, for each one of our classes that is offered, and you can be a part of it. So call us at 904-674-7831. But until now, may God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May you be blessed in your going out as well as your coming in is our prayer. Well, again, we thank Pastor Mystic as our professor here in our biblical study. And get excited. Come on and join us on next week. Thank you.